Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. This isn't just accessible tech talk. This is technology on a whole new level. We're showing you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
All right. Welcome to Blind Level Tech. I am your host, Devin Starnes, and I really hope everybody had a wonderful weekend and is, I don't know, staying warm or cool or I don't know, whatever it might be. But anyway, joining me today is, of course, my co-host, Kelvin.
Hey, 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 hey. So good to see you, even though I can't see you. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood. And I'm so excited about today's guest because she's a dear friend of mine. So, Evan, kind of tell us a little bit about our guest and who we got today.
Heck yeah. So we're joined by Kelly. I'm probably going to butcher your last name, Loden? Loden?
Love it.
Love it.
Like Lyle, but not.
Oh, okay.
No relation.
Anyway, but she is from the Good Maps Project, which I have been following since its inception a couple of years ago, back in like, what, 2020, near the very tail end of 2020. Yep. Yeah. So anyway, Kelly, welcome. We're just going to jump right into it today. Welcome to Blind Level Tech.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. What's up, BLT?
Not a whole lot. As Kelvin said, I'm going to just steal your phrase. Sorry. Not sorry. It is a totally beautiful day in the neighborhood. Great to be here, of course. Well, we're trying to kind of mess around with a little bit with the format of BLT. And don't worry, we're not getting rid of Sandwich of the Week, ever. But we are going to try and add a couple, at least one or two more kind of regular questions that we ask guests. And Kelly, thank you for being our guinea pig for that. I just want to express our appreciation and gratitude.
You're welcome.
And that being said, Kelly, in the hot seat again, what is your favorite piece of technology at this time?
Well, for those of you who are listening and know me, you knew that I was going to bring up my rescue golden retriever, Betty White. It's somehow in this podcast, and here
there
it is.
There you go.
I have a device called a Furbo, which is amazing. It's basically a camera that's in up on a mantle, kind of looks like a flower pot, kind of. And it has the ability to record and send treats to your dog. So no matter where you are, you can pull up the app, and then it'll alert you if the dog is barking or like making like crazy noises. It alerts you if there's a fire. So there's a lot of like cool things they've added into it, but I can be on the plane about to take off and throw her treats before the dog sitter gets there. So Furbo, for all of you pet parents, it's life-changing.
It sounds awesome. Yeah. When you said Furbo, I was like, wait, is this like some weird wannabe Furby kind of thing?
Oh no.
Sounds like one.
It does tell me that, but it's not. So
yeah. It's not a sponsor. Hungry. No, it's not a sponsor. Well, Kelly, you've been with the Good Maps Project. Well, I'm not sure how long. Well, how long have you been with the Good Maps Project? Let's start with that first.
So great. So I've been with Good Maps for almost a year now, but I've been in the assistive tech arena for about 7-8 years.
Oh, nice.
Let's put me into how we know each other, because here's the thing is, she came out of the blue and blindsided me and saying,
no pun intended.
Yeah, totally. And when you first came to work for Ira, and what was great was you were like, Kelvin, you're so cool. I want you to do that. And I'm like, okay. All right, I guess. So tell us, what is your experience in the visually impaired community and how you've been in the AT space for as long as you've been in? And it's pretty incredible what you have accomplished and seeing where you come from. So,
Awesome. Thank you. Great question. So I've been in the like tech, biotech, healthcare, tech arenas my entire career. I started in the dot-com era back in Boston. For those of you who don't know what that means, it means a tech company in the 2000s. We'll leave it at that. Yep. But after that run, I ended up working in healthcare out here as a medical rep for a company called Medline, working with physician offices. And then I was actually referred to Ira in like 2016 by a good friend and was connected to Kevin Phelan. And it was the world where this is why you're always nice to everybody, right? Because Kevin ended up founding a few companies with my former CEO from the dot-com. And it was a great connection. I have a family member who has a degenerative eye disease in one eye, but does not identify with the blindness community. So working with blind, low vision folks was completely new to me. Ira brought me on right after Series B. Myself and Marty Watts got hired about the same time. And I was really new to the space, but I had some incredible mentors. I got to work with Paul Schrader and Greg Stilson and Troy Attilio. I mean, it was literally the meeting of the minds, and not only learned about like the tech itself, but like what it means to be blind, what the community means, what is the etiquette? I mean, what's the history? There's just so much to learn. And I'm a sponge, as you know, Calvin. Like I love learning. I love asking lots of questions like you both do. That's why you're running a podcast.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just led me to continue my passion for wanting to, you know, help, you know, but not just have a job to have a job and get a paycheck, but really like everything you do from day to day can make a direct impact on someone's life. And I stayed with Ira for a bit, and then I followed Suman Kanaganti, to the founder of Ira, to Personal AI. And we were solving for memory loss and a way to preserve, maintain someone's memories and history. So I was there for a few years, and then ended up at Good Maps. I'd been talking just like you, watching Good Maps since, you know, 2019, 2020. And they brought me on to head up our business development in North America. And what's interesting now about Good Maps is when I joined, we were launching our new release. So we were solving for blind and low vision, indoor, you know, accessible navigation. We have a patent on it. We're the only one that's, you know, fully inclusive, which is super exciting. But what happened was we started APH as our amazing parent company, and you know, we work closely with that group. And Good Maps was originally founded to be an accessibility tool for the blind, low vision when it came to indoor wayfinding, right? And then over years, it started developing our partner locations. So the universities, the airports, you know, some museums are saying, well, if you can help solve for that community, is there a way to be even more inclusive? And that was by adding like an AR map to it. So now we do have a visual aspect. Obviously, we're staying with our core. So we still have the turn-by-turn directions and haptics. But having a visual map now really opens up the anyone can now use our app. So whether you're blind or low vision, whether you're a wheelchair user, whether you're neurodiverse, whether you're deaf, you know, older adults, or honestly, if you're navigationally challenged like myself, now really anyone can access, you know, our app. So it's been great learning about other communities outside of blind and low vision. And there's a lot of overlap too, right? Everybody in assistive tech knows everybody. So keep it in the family. Well, right?
Tight-knit community for sure.
Yeah. I mean, what was really interesting is watching you, because I met you when you first came in to the assistive technology world. Yep. And when you came into Ira, high energy, and I was like, man, this lady, she's awesome, but high energy. I'm like, man, trying to keep up with her was like, it wasn't gonna happen. And
you're not gonna be surprised. That's not the first time I've heard that.
and so what was cool is to watch you grow. And then I learned that you were Good Maps, and I'm like, this is awesome, because I think this is where you're going to shine even more. And from what we've talked off the air, where I'm excited for you to talk more about it, but how you really took in that, and then in Good Maps, what you're doing now. And just to clarify for everybody, what Good Maps is. Maps is a cheap. Not necessarily, it's not a GPS. It is a navigation, indoor navigation and outdoor navigation, using other technology other than GPS. Mm-hmm. And so that is the key thing to understand. This is cutting edge technology in the way we navigate as visually impaired individuals, as well people with other disabilities, as we're learning today.
Yes, actually. And I actually really, first of all, just to make it super clear for everybody, I want to just start with a little bit of trivia first.
Ooh.
Good maps, well, not a trivia question, but you know, good maps actually is kind of the second navigation app that APH has put out that's been really good. It originally, their app was called Nearby Explorer, and then they released Nearby Explorer Online. And that was an app that would allow you to navigate both outdoors and indoors, and its indoor navigation relied on Bluetooth technology, but Good Maps does not. In fact, their patented technology is kind of the first that I've ever seen personally. Super innovative. And rather than using Bluetooth beacons, they actually use LiDAR primarily to do all of their mapping. Yep. And it's really kind of cool. So yeah, let's go ahead and kind of transition over to that.
I get asked that a lot of times, like, what is LiDAR to, oh, I use LiDAR every day. And there's a lot of people in between. So
it's incredible.
We're using, you know, handheld LiDAR. So there used to be kind of like Ghostbuster with a big backpack, and our surveyors would go in and scan a place with this huge bag on their back. Now it's got down to the size of the, I like to describe it as, you know, the controversial Stanley like coffee water mugs that people have that are getting Target about. So it's about the size of that. So a handheld LiDAR, it's about 12 inches long and like 3-4 inches wide. And it's literally, it just holds in one hand. So with the surveyors, let me back it up. When a venue decides they want to be part of our network, so we'll use Portland Airport, for example, we then send out a surveyor team. So the surveyors go and they walk the entire length of the airport from door to door. So what they're doing is capturing the images around them through that handheld LiDAR. So it's capturing images to the left of them about 30 feet, to the right of them about 30 feet, and above them about 30 feet. And it's not capturing like pictures of people or, you know, or anybody walking by. Those are just kind of like come in like ghosts. It's really capturing the structure of the images in front of it. So then we take that data and then we upload it and train it on our computer vision model and create, using our proprietary technology, a 3D or an IMDF file of that map. So that basically is a fancy way of saying the most updated map possible that's live. Mm-hmm. Then on the back end, we, with the app, we're uploading those into there. So when you talk about beacons and GPS and all of that, we're using what's called camera-based positioning, or CPS. So long story short, when a user, you know, a passenger gets to Portland Airport, they're holding up their smartphone, opening up the Good Maps app for free for them. There's no subscriptions or anything like that. And then their camera on their smartphone is identifying the objects and the images in front of them, and then kind of like creating a digital, you know, copy of and comparing it to the map of the scan we've done. So they'll say, oh, looks like you're in Terminal D at, you know, Gate 4. Then you'll search through the phone of where you want to go. So you want to do family restroom, Starbucks, and then to rideshare. You can put each of those points of interest and it'll tell you how far away everything is. You can do step-free routing. So, you know, someone who has a wheelchair or a parent with a stroller, you know, or large luggage, and you don't want to take the stairs or escalator, it'll provide you the step-free routing. Someone who's deaf or neurodiverse or, you know, or illiterate can actually, instead of reading the directions, can follow an arrow, which will provide them turn-by-turn directions. So, yeah, we basically scan the place, create the map, and then the end user can access it, you know, inclusively.
Absolutely.
What's really interesting is watching Good Map develop to this point. Because prior, it was a crowdsourced type of a deal early on, and using computer vision and some of those other things, but then it started moving towards the LiDAR, and Kelly, you remember the smart guider that I was working on. It had very similar stuff that we were doing, but it was all done within my machine rather than doing it through other ways. And what was interesting to see, I got to do a mapped out place at CSUN this year.
Yes, you did.
And really get to have this experience. It was pretty cool. 'Cause it's like, there's having the opportunity to be inside an environment indoors, yep, and be able to say, I want to go to the bathroom, and then you just give it directions to go, it takes you to the bathroom, right. And where we were, like, we did a sample going to the gym. Obviously, yep, I need to go to, yeah, the gym, but I don't do that. That's a different story.
You and me both, man. You and me both, dude.
So, oh, man. but what was really cool, though, is being able to have that ability to be, yep, able to say, yeah, I got this. And to know that I can do the different navigations and do different things to be able to do that. Yep. And Evan, can you kind of guide us through the process of kind of, for you, when you think about good maps, like, what are you thinking good maps could do for you as an individual with a visual impairment?
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you asked, because I think, honestly, very surprisingly, the very first thing that came to mind, use case wise, is shopping malls.
Yes,
because,
absolutely.
Oh man, I love going to shopping malls on a day, just like spending the entire day there and, you know, browsing. Yep. You know, some people can't stand it, but I'm not one of them. Whenever I go to places like that, I am not the type of person that enjoys, I don't feel comfortable asking other, like, strangers for help. And I don't always want to bring a friend along. Sometimes I just want to go by my lonesome, you know, and right, chill out. And this honestly could be monumental. You know, if I wanted to look for, well, this is BLT. If I wanted to look for the Apple store, mm-hmm, at Flatirons Crossing Mall, where I, you know, it's kind of in my neck of the woods.
Yep.
It'd be kind of cool. And you said step free routing. So I assume too, this takes not only stairs, but like other things like elevators and escalators into account as well.
Correct. So step free would be, yeah, no stairs, no escalator. Yeah.
Ah, right on. Mm-hmm. And that could be seriously incredible. And also just for mapping out unfamiliar locations, schools, for instance, you know, it took, I remember being in middle and high school, and I used to have to go into school a few weeks early just to learn where my classes were and to really mentally map the place out. And I could really see this like as a good way to do some exploratory discovery. I'm trying to be, I don't want to say structured discovery here, but right.
Yeah, I should, no, I love that, Evan. And I should say, and Kelvin's heard me say this before, you know, good maps, we're not trying to replace, you know, any of the trainings, tools, tricks that you've already, you already have in your tool belt. You know, we're not the new white cane or the new smart, you know, CK. We're not the, you know, new guide dog, nor are we trying to be. You know, we're really looking at, like you mentioned, both malls, schools, you know, airports, as I had said, transit, to leave the decision up to the, you know, visitor of that venue. Like, do you want a sighted guide to go around the mall? Go for it. But like you mentioned, you want an independent way to kind of go at your own pace and do your own thing and have your own agenda. You know, if there's other apps out there too, but they're not all fully accessible. So the mall's a great example. I think there is anxiety, sighted or not, coming back after COVID of like, where do I go? I haven't been to a mall in a while. Where am I going to start? How far is it going to take me to get from one into the other? I mean, there's some malls here that are massive, right?
Because oh yeah.
Really, literally
like airport sized.
Airport sized, like crazy. So those are, you know, we are having those conversations with those groups to provide that. And again, we're letting them know, you know, don't take away the sighted guide option. Just have another option, you know, there. Or I like to take Jeff Whistle from Disability and the CAO there. He always says, or another club and the golf bag. And I love that. Yeah, I know. I have to give him credit, though, that I did not come up with that.
I usually use tool in the toolbox. That's like, yeah, when we talk about any of these really awesome new innovations on BLT, that's something we always remind people, because I'm sure the thought often is, oh, this is going to make it so my mental mapping goes kaputs.
Right. Yeah, well, we work with a lot of the schools for the blind. So like at CSB, for example, you know, and Perkins, they'll do a route, you know, with using good maps and one without. So I think that's a great way to show a student, you know, or anyone that ultimately technology could fail. So you're going to use your own, you know, trainings and skill set, mm-hmm. you know, and decision making on your own and not rely on a map. I mean, that's what we have to do with any like navigation or any, you know, app out there in general. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's where I think as visually impaired individuals, we have to remember, and it's kind of my philosophy is that technology is awesome.
Right.
But you got to be able to also navigate the natural.
Yes.
And if you can't navigate the natural, the technology, if it fails, you're screwed. And that's it. Like, there is no more hope for you there.
Right.
And so this is where I think why I like Good Maps so much, because it actually enhances your natural ability to navigate the world. And when you're using Good Maps, yes, it's saying turn left, turn right, slightly to the right or slightly to the left, yep. but it's not telling you, go to the use your cane to the right, or it's not
keep walking straight. Oh my gosh, it's not doing what.
So what it's doing, it's giving you just enough so that way you are still naturally able to navigate the environment. And if you can't navigate the environment visually impaired with your already existing cane or guide dog, then
don't use Good Maps yet.
Yeah, don't use Good Maps. You get your cane skill, get your guide dog skills, and
up first,
exactly, yeah. and then take Good Maps, because you'll see it change your life and give you a lot of freedom.
Absolutely.
And so, can I ask you this, Kelly? Sure. So, where is Good Maps starting to get placed? Because honestly, it's not everywhere yet.
Not even.
Can you kind of tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, not everywhere yet. So our big focus is airports and transit. We in the U.S. we're in pilot with both the BART and Sound Transit up in Seattle. And for airports, Louisville, which is where HQ is, you know, we're right up the street from APH. That was our first airport that we launched, and then PDX out in Portland has been the big large one. Soon to be Austin, we're almost at the finish line there, so we'll have a big splash, you know, at South by Southwest next year, which will be great. And there's several other airports that we met with actually last week at American Association of Airport Executives. So there's been a lot of interest to bring, you know, Good Maps nationwide. I mean, we right now are in 8 different countries. We have like hundreds of locations. And I think, you know, between museums, universities, some, you know, employers are starting to bring on as a, you know, accommodations and a recruitment tool too, right? To say I have this, you know,
accessibility tool. Yeah, there you go.
Accessible option. If you want to come in for an interview, this is, you know, how you get there. So there's a lot of different things that people are doing with it. And when you mentioned universities, that's a huge target of ours. I mean, Michigan State University was like our pioneer. They were on the original app just for the blind. They have a large population of both students and faculty who are blind. And they have another population of deaf students who are in faculty, and they also have deafblind. So they were one of the schools that really pushed, can you, you know, add the AR and add other features so that we can open this up to our entire campus? And they started with a couple of buildings, and now I think they're like about 20 buildings. So, and we say, you know, maybe freshman, sophomore year, these new students are going to use it way more often than once they get their route in. But then there's always another freshman class coming in, right? And then also the accommodations and ADA groups going to help recruit, you know, additional students and faculty, you know, and staff and visitors to, you know, maybe they're going to a concert. Maybe they're coming in for alumni day. You know, there's so many different use cases of, you know, anyone who visits your campus can access this information, you know, because it's
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's take, you brought up airports, and of course, DIA in my case immediately came to mind because it is a massive airport. In fact, I think it's the biggest in the country.
It is.
One of. So, can you give us maybe like an estimate of like how long it would take for somebody to go with their handheld LiDAR and map out at least like the entire, you know, not any of like the, you know, not any rooms or anything, but just the entire general area of that entire airport, like the floors and everything?
Right. No, it depends on the complexity of the scan. And when you're talking about, I think Denver Airport's 3 million square feet, I could be a little off.
Oof, so sounds about right.
Yeah, they're in the top three, you know, airports for sure, in terms of size and passengers coming through. And we've met with them, so we'll get there. I promise you. It depends on the level, like how many floors there are, how many different gates and terminals and all of that. But the PDX airport, which is probably about half the size of there, they have a new terminal coming, so they're getting more competitive with Denver, but it's about a day. So like maybe it's like 6 to 7 hours for PDX. So maybe about eight hours for them to walk up and down. And then it takes about for them to upload the data and create the map itself. You're looking at about 2 to 4 weeks, just depending on how much other maps are, you know, being created in the pipeline. And then there's about a month of, you know, QA and getting the map like up and running. Then we do a bit, and you will all be invited when we get Denver and San Diego. We do a big launch. You know, we invite the mayor, we invite, you know, all the media, you know, all the different communities. We do focus groups, you know, coffee talks, and then do a big press event and really want the community to know that this app is available. And then it doesn't end there, right? We continue to work. Almost every airport in the country has an ADA committee who are constantly testing new tech and new things that are being introduced to the airport. So getting their feedback, you know, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months out is like super important. And what other, you know, not just feedback, but what other features do you want to see? What features aren't you using that maybe we, you know, don't need and can add, you know, enhance other ones. So that type of stuff, we're really, really connected to the community and not just our Blind Low Vision employees, but, you know, we have a lot of ADA committee groups that we're constantly working with. So.
Absolutely. And you actually gave me a great segue into my next question. Okay. What are you hoping to see from Good Maps here within the next year or so? Like,
that's a great question. Technically, I'm really excited for our offline capabilities. So being from Boston, there's certain subways where you're underneath the ground and your phone doesn't work. So no Wi-Fi, no cellular. So you're not calling your mom and you're not calling an Uber. Like nothing works. You'll be able, once offline is released in the next, this fall, you'll be able to hold up your phone, go to the Good Maps app, and the camera is still going to work and I'll still be able to let you know where you are, even though there's no Wi-Fi or no cellular.
I think take a load off your battery too.
Yes. So that's going to be a game changer, especially with some of the schools that have like older, like Perkins has an underground, like, you know, tunnel. Like there's a lot of complex building.
Steel reinforced, any of that.
Yeah. Exactly. So even though it still works and like maybe like, you know, 99% of the time, there are going to be use cases where you're somewhere where you don't have access to data and you'll be able to use Good Maps. So technically, that's what I'm most excited about. I think from a launch, I think our product launch is coming up soon too, and we'll keep you guys posted. We'll be adding additional features to our product suite. I can give a teaser. For example, there'll be a web SDK where, you know, an airport can actually have the web SDK like in their kiosks and on their website and things like that. So you'll be able to, right now you can pull up the map. So Anaheim Marriott, for example, Kelvin mentioned CSUN, you can go to Anaheim Marriott and look at the lobby and see the different spots, but you'll be able to pre-route before you go. So be able to like pull up the map and then say, how much time is it going to take me to get from A to B to C, you know, at this airport, at this transit. So I think those are like the big features I'm most excited about. And I think as a company, we have a new CEO, Teresa Reno Weber is our, she's been our president for years. She just stepped in the past few weeks as our new CEO. And I think having a female led business is just, especially in the startup and especially in tech, is just super motivating and super exciting. And we're really moving forward and excited about the next few years.
Yeah, that is wonderful.
So, really, what I love what's going on with Good Maps is it's really innovating at a faster rate, because what you guys are doing is not easy to get people to buy into. And I mean, it's one of the hurdles that I ran into when I was building the Smart Guider is getting people to buy in on the technology.
Yes.
and you guys are cracking that code slowly. And with your experience working with Ira, because they have the similar things, I mean, it's just nice, smooth transition. And it's amazing to see how it's starting to grow more and more. And so basically, really what we need to do is bring more awareness to good maps so that we can get more and more places mapped. So that way we can have more and more independence. And
that is the goal. That's my job.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's like advocates, like the both of you, like have even having us on here is just going to, you know, expose our technology to so many other people. But like you said, Kelvin, with your cane, like people hear the story anecdotally. It's amazing. You know, you're hit by two cars and here's this idea. Until they see it in action and actually get to try it out, the concept doesn't fully set in. And that's why like running these demos, I mentioned I was at MLK Library, one of our great partners in DC, being able to do live demos with a, you know, very large hotel chain, a very famous government run transit agency, and, you know, a very, very famous museum in DC, you know, all three of those groups had that aha moment. It went off in their head. Wow. Anyone can use this, but now I understand why it was built and how inclusive it is. So I think that whether you're a tech person or you're a PR person or you're, you know, in product or, you know, you're in nonprofit, I think it's just, it, once you see it in action, you kind of, you literally, the light bulb goes off and the hamster starts turning the wheel. So.
Exactly. Absolutely. And what should companies like expect to pay to be able to get their place effectively mapped?
No, that's a great question, and I'm not afraid to answer it. So the it's going to vary by the complication of how hard it is to like map out their place, their venue, right? So if it's multiple buildings, multiple stories, all of that, but it's all about a square footage based pricing plan. And then there's an annual subscription license that they'll pay each time after that. Like I mentioned, the end user doesn't have a subscription. It's free to the end user. So the venue is the one actually providing the partnership. So a 100,000 square foot venue is paying about $8,000 a year for the subscription. And if they do multi-year deals, that goes down. And then if they add another terminal, the square footage goes up, then the cost per square footage goes down. So it's not just like an exact formula of this. There's a few variables. So they'll pay a one-time mapping fee, which is usually around the same cost as the annual license. And then the next year after that, they'll just pay, you know, that 8,000 and that 100,000 square foot example.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, a few minutes ago, you had actually brought up the concept of subways, and we don't have subways here. So it actually makes me think of, you know, the restaurant, which actually brings us to
the sandwich of the week.
Kelly, I'm gonna put you first here. What is your sandwich of the week?
So I love sandwiches. I'm big on getting wraps, but this week one of my neighbors encouraged me to go try a sandwich at a place called Mr. Frosty's, which is known for soft serve ice cream. I didn't even know they had sandwiches. So best deal in town. It's located on Garnett in Pacific Beach. So for $12.50, you can get a soft drink or a bottle of water, a sandwich, a full-size sandwich, and or chips or a soft serve ice cream for $12.50. Like, that's insane. Goodness. So we went on his golf cart the other day and went, and I got a turkey sub. They put hot peppers on it for me. It was amazing. I do no lettuce on my sandwiches, so I do no greens, no pickles, no lettuce.
What?
Yep.
You and me are alike. No vegetables for us.
No, get that green stuff out of there. It makes the sandwich.
Exactly.
Reminds me of when you had your sandwich in the locker for hours and your mom kept putting lettuce in and then the whole sandwich would be soggy. Anyway, that's the backstory.
Nasty.
But yeah, so for $12.50, you can get all that. And I asked if they had any hot sauce, and they brought me out 6 different kinds of hot sauce, even some of the Tabascos you can only get in Louisiana. And then I had a ghost pepper sauce with that. And I said, do you have any doggy treats for Miss Betty White? Second time I brought her up today. And they said, yeah, we have a treat. And they brought a mini cone with a mini little double of soft serve on top. So Mr. Frosty's, if you're ever in San Diego, it's right in between every single bar in all of Garnett. You can definitely stop by there. And that's hard to find in San Diego. A little pricey, right, Kelvin?
It's legit one of the best soft serve ice creams in San Diego.
And sandwiches. Who knew?
And they have, I think they have burgers too.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Well, we're gonna get way off track here. Let's just not stop. Let's just stop. But it's good. It's legit. So if you come to San Diego, you gotta check get some good ice cream.
When you come to San Diego, we'll all go.
Yeah. I'm gonna be going in June. So.
Oh, cool. Come on down.
Heck yeah! Yep. Awesome. Yep. Well, you mentioned burgers, so I'm actually gonna do a burger this week. And last night, my friend graduated from college, and we went to celebrate at Chili's. And I got this really good burger. It was the Alex Santa Fe, and it had, you know, all the delicious, juicy meat you could wish for, and stuff that you guys might not like. It had onions, avocado, lettuce, pickle, tomato. Actually, a lot of that stuff ended up falling off, so it was kind of. But yeah, that's mine. But Kelvin, what's your sandwich?
So my sandwich is a chicken parmesan sandwich, a parmesan cheese sandwich. It's from Giovanni's, which is by my house, which is near Linda Vista Road and in that area. And I tell you, Giovanni's has been one of those hole-in-the-wall restaurants. And Kelly, you probably know about Giovanni's a little bit.
Yes.
And it is the most freshest Italian food you can get. But their Parmesan cheese sandwich is incredible. It got all that sauce. Melted too much cheese.
There's no such thing as too much cheese.
And that bread is just so perfect on that chicken with long piece of French bread. Oh man, it's good. Man. I had it twice already this week. it's so good. So good.
I'm envious, man. I am envious.
And Evan, before we go, can I talk about my nonprofit that I'm on the board for too, really quick?
Oh my gosh, yes, you absolutely can.
We're having so much fun. Well, it's fun.
No. Go ahead. So your nonprofit.
My good friend, Catherine Webster, who a lot of people listening probably have heard the name before. She's the first blind student to graduate from Harvard Business School. So she came up with, she accredits a lot of her success as a blind student and now, employee in finance to having two different types of mentors in her life. So one, having a blind mentor in finance and having two, a sighted mentor in finance. I always kind of compare it to in tech. I've always had a female mentor and a male mentor in tech to kind of help, because everyone has the same common goal, but two different ways to get there. Right.
Yeah.
So we're trying to, here's corporate America going, DEI, we want to hire inclusion. And then only 1 in 4 blind college students actually graduates. 1 in 4. So we have a 75% dropout rate. And that's a lot of the time because of accommodations. And also the fear of going into the corporate world after, because who's going to want to hire me, right? So we want to get that stigma out of here and create opportunities, internships while the students are still in college and partner with corporate America in creating these mentorships and internships. So it's called TAD Foundation, Together Achieving Dreams. And our first cohort has 13 students. And we had a big gala in New York in January, and one of our students on stage got a job offer in the middle of the gala in a marketing. It was awesome. So we do a lot of mentorship weekends, a lot of trainings, and it's really an opportunity for us to bridge the gap between corporate America and blind and low vision college students. So yeah, TAD Foundation, tadfoundation.org. Check us out. If you know a student you want to refer to us, we'd love to learn more. If you're interested in being a mentor, both of you are super tech savvy. We would love to have someone in tech as a mentor for our next incoming cohort too. So
that's incredible, man. Yeah. Well, Kelly, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on BLT today.
Thank you.
And is there anything you would like to leave our audience with before we wrap this episode up?
I think just knowing that the assistive tech community we're all in it together, right? So it's not you work here and I work there and you use this tool and I use this tool. I mean, I think they all enhance each other. I think giving the option, not only to someone who's blind or low vision, but anyone with a disability to be independent their way, right? So if that means using a sighted guide, that means using a sighted guide. That means having a lit up cane, that means using a lit up cane. So I think the biggest takeaway for someone listening who doesn't have a disability or doesn't identify of having a disability, knowing that there are these other tools and tricks and things out there. And I think the community at large loves to educate others on what this is and what I'm using and how voiceover works. Like a lot of people don't even know what that is. So I think asking questions and always be learning and open to those conversations and knowing that we're all in this together and assistive tech is not going anywhere. It's definitely
no way.
Absolutely. On its way up. So
absolutely. And Kelvin, is there anything that you would like to wrap up with?
Like I always say, go live beyond your challenges.
Indeed. With that being said, thank you all so much for joining us for yet another episode of Blind Level Tech. As a friendly reminder, if you have feedback or questions for us, you can always shoot an email to feedback@aftersight.org or call our feedback hotline at 720-712-8856. And lastly, our Audio Trekkers annual hike is coming up July 27th, and you can register and reserve a spot. Go to aftersight.org/hike and get your tickets. I'm super excited for that hike. It's always a good time. So yeah, it's going to be awesome up in Myers Gulch. I'm hoping to get like a beautiful weather day, no rain or any of that. So,
well, if you want me to come to the hike, what do we have to do? You have to send in 10 questions that you want me to answer on BLT, right?
Yeah.
So if you want me to fly up, be a part of the hike, you guys need to send in 10 questions. And we both know that Jonathan can't stack the deck. So you got to send in your questions.
Yes, you do. With that being said, I am your host, Evan Starnes. He's Kelvin Crosby. We'll catch y'all next week.
Don't forget to plug in your device.